As we turn to God's Word, we'll call on God's Spirit in a prayer of illumination. Let's join in that prayer. Gracious God, we confess honestly and even gladly that it's only in your light that we can see light, because we know how eager you are to fill us with your Spirit and to illumine our minds so that we can understand and live by your Word. So we pray that in the written word and in the spoken word, we can meet the living word, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Scripture reading for today is Genesis chapter 15. We'll read the entire chapter. And you will see that in this chapter, our faith father Abraham is still going by the name Abram. The Lord will change his name in Genesis 17. During the sermon, I'll go back and forth between Abram and Abraham because I just won't be able to keep it straight, but you'll know it's the same person. Hear God's word. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. The Lord took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abram brought all these things to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your fathers in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking fire pot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, to your descendants, I give this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadmizzites, Hittites, Perizzites, Rephaites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites. This is the word of the Lord. Friends in Christ, as our scripture reading begins, Abram has just won a significant military victory, and at the same time as he's basking in the glow of that victory, he's hurting, and he's needing help from the Lord. You may remember that in the passage just before the passage we just read this morning, there was a group of kings, we might call them warlords, and they captured Abram's nephew Lot. When Abram heard of his relative Lot's capture, He led trained warriors. Did you know Abraham had 318 trained warriors under his command? He led them in pursuit of his enemies. He deployed the soldiers strategically. He attacked his enemies at night, and he gained a victory that was so complete, observers called it a rout. So in worldly terms, our father in faith, Abram, is quite a powerful and successful man. And yet when the word of the Lord, who knows everything, when the word of the Lord comes to Abram in a vision, the Lord says to our successful, accomplished father in faith, the Lord says, "Fear not. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward will be very great." And in response to that encouraging word from the Lord, our father Abram complains. He says, "Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? You made this promise years ago. I still don't have any children. This mighty man of faith is hurting in his home life, and God knows that." Now, I think I may have mentioned this to some of you, that back when I was still in grad school, I was working part-time as a youth minister at a church in Michigan, and I arranged for a theater group to come and give a presentation to the youth group. This theater group called themselves the Pine Rest Players, and they would perform skits in which they portrayed typical family situations, and then they would offer some therapeutic counsel about dealing with family issues. So one Sunday evening, I arranged for this group of players to come and present to our youth. I felt a little surprised when the parents said they wanted to stay and watch, and I felt even more surprised when almost the entire congregation in this well-to-do congregation showed up. So many people packed the fellowship hall that we could barely fit into it. I think we ran out of chairs. And at the end of the players, who did a very insightful job of portraying and speaking into family issues, at the end, I looked over at that well-dressed group and I said to them, "Hey, thanks for coming. Have a nice night." And I look back, I kind of kick myself, because in retrospect, I can see that that congregation was sending a message. In retrospect, I can see and hear them saying, "We need some help. We're hurting. We need some help," they were saying by their just showing up. And I missed the message. So this morning, I'm glad that we can hear both in the scriptures and in our own experiences. We can hear a message that says, you and I, all of us together, we're descendants of Abram in the family of faith. And like our father in faith, we need help. We're hurting and we need help. I think like Abram, many of us have many ways in which we achieve, we flourish, we have all kinds of good things going on, and at the same time, we live with anxieties, we live with conflicts that can make it a struggle for us to believe. And the struggle is not so much believing in terms of faith as orthodoxy, the struggle is more in terms of faith as trust. I mean, we know that the Lord is there. We believe in God. But still, we can wonder painfully, what can I really expect from God? I mean, I've had some stuff going on for a long time. I'm like Abraham. And so each of us could ask the Lord, "Well, Lord, what are you going to give me? I mean, this has been here so long. Lord, how can I know that I'm really going to receive what you promise. I think we can feel that way, and therefore it's illuminating for our faith to ponder the Lord's response to Abram's struggles. It's revealing for us to see Abram struggling to trust and therefore coming to God with very honest complaints and questions. And the Lord responds by helping Abram, particularly by making a covenant with him, a covenant through which the Lord gives him and us grace to help. And I was just with the fifth graders, and I was pleased to see that they knew the definition of a covenant as an agreement between two parties full of promises, a relationship in which both or at least one of the parties makes promises. And I could further define covenant at great length for page after page, but that really would not help us truly understand or experience covenantal life. Because covenants come to us not so much in abstract definitions as in worshipful actions. And we can see that in our passage. The Lord makes a covenant with Abram, not just by speaking things, as wonderful as that is, but the Lord appears as a smoking fiery pot and a blazing torch. The Lord makes the covenant by passing through those cut up carcasses. And that's the Lord saying to Abram and to his descendants, which includes us, the Lord is saying to the family of faith, if I don't keep my promises, make me like those carcasses. The Lord says, if I don't keep my promises, may I suffer such a death and such a desolation. That's the Lord's covenant with Abram and his descendants. And as those descendants who have seen the promises fulfilled in Christ, we can't help but encounter Christ in that covenant pointing to the new covenant. When we see the Lord pledging his life and his blood, we can't help but remember Jesus Christ giving his life to keep all the promises of God. We can't help but see Jesus' actions, not only in that covenant long ago, but in the covenant meal of the Last Supper, which we'll explore in the Lord's Supper. At the Last Supper, Jesus promised to give his body and to shed his blood to keep God's promises, and that's what he did on the cross. And in the Lord's Supper, Jesus continues in that action of suffering love, acting now to strengthen our faith, to renew our hope. Friends in Christ, in the Lord's Supper, Jesus gives us himself through the bread and the cups, and he gives us himself also by forming us more and more into his body to embody his love to one another. So he gives us actions, and he gives us a community. So I think it's very fitting for us to be grateful to God for the scriptures and for the sacrament that we can receive each week, because through these covenantal actions, the Lord gives us the grace to help that we need. And I think both the story of Abraham and its New Testament reflections reveal what that gracious help from the Lord looks like. It reveals what it means. So let's just think a little bit more about the story of Abraham in Genesis, where we see the Lord keeping his promise to bless Abram and his family so that they can bless all the families of the earth. I think that's the key to receiving God's covenantal grace. It's that so that we receive a blessing so that we can bless all the families of the earth. So think of the next chapter, Genesis 16, and the related chapter 21. In Genesis 16 and 21, we see Abram's family torn by conflict because, according to the customs of that day, they brought their maidservant Hagar in as a second wife of sorts, had a child through her, this wound up tearing the family apart in dreadful ways. But even in the midst of all that conflict, the Lord worked, appeared to Hagar, appeared to Ishmael, promised to bless them, and we see Abram's love for these people in his life, in our torn up world and in torn up households. The Lord works to bless as we partner with him in love. In Genesis 18 and 19, that pattern continues. There we see Abram's nephew Lot again taken captive, this time very much related to his own lifestyle choices. And we see Abraham praying for Lot and the city of Sodom in which Lot lives, and doing everything he can to help his relative Lot and the human family. And that is how the story of Abraham goes as a whole. Again, the Lord chooses and blesses Abraham and his descendants so that that family of faith can bless all the families of the world. That blessing is reached down to us, forming us into a family of the Lord. And so we can learn endlessly from the story of Abraham. We can see him being partnered by God to raise Isaac in a righteousness and justice that'll bless the Lord. We can see Abraham growing so strong in faith that he's able to sacrifice anything, trusting that the Lord will keep his promise to bless him and bless all households through him. Abram growing strong in faith to the point that God calls him a friend who works with him in this mission of doing what's right and what makes for peace. So that's in the Genesis story, and in the letter to the Romans, the Apostle Paul picks up that story and says that by faith we all inherit that rich covenantal partnership with God. In Romans 4, Paul says that as believers we are descendants of Abraham in the family of faith, and the apostle says the Lord justifies the ungodly, which includes us. The Lord forgives our iniquities and transgressions and our sins. The Lord puts us into a right relationship with him by sheer grace so that we can share that grace with all the families of the earth, with the whole human family. So this morning, through the covenant story of Abraham in the scriptures, and then through the covenant meal that we'll share in just a few minutes, our Lord is helping us. Our Lord is healing us. Our Lord is strengthening us in faith again so that we can not only receive, but be a channel of all those blessings, of all that peace. Our Lord forms us into a family of faith so that we can bless the human family with God's grace and love. Now, as I was preparing that message, that kind of so that message of covenantal help, as I was preparing this message about midway through last week, I think the Lord sent me another message, a related message, in a form that I wasn't looking for. It came through a YouTube presentation of a TED Talk by a researcher and psychologist named Lisa Miller. And the more I thought about it, the more I didn't think coming across that TED Talk was a coincidence. You can tell me what you think. It's a talk called Depression and Spiritual Awakening, Two Sides of the Same Door. And in this talk, Dr. Miller describes how, as with Abraham and Sarah, she and her husband lived for years with an infertility over which they agonized and suffered year after year. And Dr. Miller says that one dark and dreadful night, she woke up and she discovered that her husband was not beside her as usual, and when she got up to look for him, she found him in a completely dark room, lying flat on his back, his arms spread wide, just helpless in pain and grief, because their hopes had been disappointed so repeatedly, their prayers had been seemingly unanswered so often, their attempts at fertility had been such a zero that their grief had ripped open their hearts with despair. They were veering into depression. And yet, Dr. Miller says, healing and help came to that household through an encounter with what she calls sacred presence. Now, here I should explain that Dr. Miller's mission is to integrate spiritual reality with common practices of psychological healing in the mainstream of psychology. And in order to do that, in order to encourage all healers and all people needing healing to turn toward God, Dr. Miller can speak in terms of orthodox faith, but in something like a TED Talk, she speaks to a diverse audience with scientific reasoning and with an appeal to universal experiences. So in her talk, to try to keep doors open, she refers to God as sacred presence. And as people who know the Lord, we know that this is the Lord speaking to her. And so what she says is that the presence began to awaken her spiritually by asking her a question. She wanted a child so bad, and the Lord said, if you were pregnant, would you adopt a child? And Dr. Miller says that in that first encounter, she answered honestly, and she said, no, I want to have a child biologically, not going to adopt. The Lord kept sending her messages. This part was sort of like Abram looking up at the stars. Dr. Miller began to see in the world around her, in the creation around her, messages from God. She sensed God calling her to walk further down the path of love through creatures, through people encounters. And then the Lord gave her a second sort of special encounter with that sacred presence, where she again heard God's question. If you were pregnant, would you adopt? And she said, in effect, Lord, I think I'm moving that way, but no, I'm not there yet. And then the Lord continued to lead her down a path of connection and love. She had some amazing encounter. You may want to look it up, you know, Dr. Laura Miller on spiritual depression and enlightenment, two sides of one door. The Lord arranged things in a remarkable way for her and her husband to agree to adopt a child from a distant land. And as they somewhat anxiously awaited the final arrangements of that adoption, the Lord appeared to her for a third time. And the Lord asked again, if you were pregnant, would you adopt? And by this time, the Lord had led her so far down the path of connection and love, she said, yes. Yes, I would. And that night, this couple that had been infertile for years, they conceived a biological child. They view their biological child and their spiritual child and their adopted child as spiritual twins from God. And from that sacred personal experience, Dr. Miller invites all people to think rigorously with minds open to the reality of God and the help he can give. She does not say, you have to do exactly what I do, though, so you better adopt her. What she says, in effect, is, can you open your mind to sacred presence, bringing love directly into your hurting, healing household? Can you, like her, like Abram, listen for the Lord in dreadful times of darkness? He says, become more alert to the Lord at all times and in everything you do. Now, at Covenant this morning, we're going to share a covenant meal. that our Lord has given to help us through our darkest times and through all times. So the Lord's going to give us grace by being present in the bread and in the cups. And then, thank God, we can explore that further in this We service, which is especially for younger members, but will bless us all. And in these covenantal actions, we can experience the Lord helping us as the family of faith so that we can help the human family. We can experience the Lord coming to us, making himself known to us with a fiery love in the bread and the cups, the Lord forming us into a body of Christ that's sort of like a fountain flowing deep and wide with mercy and grace to help. In the covenantal meal, the Lord gives us a sacrament in which he forms us more and more into the body of Christ, his partners, his friends, so that like Abraham, we can share that covenantal life with the human family as a whole. Let's join in prayer. Lord our God, triune God of love, we thank you for giving us your friendship and all the things that make for peace. We pray that by the power of your presence and spirit, we can share that. In our worship and our work and in all that we do, make us both recipients and channels of your peace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This time we'll have our hymn of response. Let's rise to sing What Wondrous Love.